So let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, and we're going to look at verse 7 through verse 10. And we're talking about the obedience of faith. It says, "For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Wherefore we labor," say labor. "We labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him." Now, here's the operative verse. Here's the operative verse. It says, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone," say everyone.
Everyone.
Now, everyone includes me. Come on, say everyone includes me.
Everyone.
So everyone will appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he has done, whether it be good or bad. Let's stop right there for just a moment. Here is something that motivates me, and I pray that it motivates you. It definitely motivated the Apostle Paul. He understood that one day, he was going to have to stand front and center before the judgment seat of Christ. Now, every person, believers here, you're a believer, you're born again, okay? Believers will not stand before the great white throne. Only the lost will stand before the great white throne. We will make it to heaven not because of what we do. We will make it to heaven because we believed on the finished work of Jesus Christ. Okay, that being said, we will be judged. We will be rewarded based off what we do in terms of our obedience. So the scripture says one day all of us will have to stand before God, before Jesus, and give account of the things that we've done in this body. In this body. Now, remember, nobody is going to be, Jesus is never going to say, "Well, you didn't do right, so you're going to hell." No. It's going to be rewards, okay? It's going to be promotion. It's going to be rewards. And those rewards and promotion is going to be based off our obedience. Now, let's look at 1 Corinthians. So what is the criteria? What will be the criteria? "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found what?
Faithful.
So Jesus is going to judge us based off of our faithfulness, obedience. Now the question comes, obedience to what? Faithfulness to what? And I believe it's faithfulness to the call of God on our lives. Call of God. I was experimenting a little bit out there before Bible study. And I asked Tamika, I said, "Well, what are you called to do?" And I asked somebody else, "What you called?" I think I asked you, "What you called to do?" And if I ask you, you're born again, you say, "What are you called to do?" Because the Bible says that one day you're going to have to stand before God and give an account of not how many hours you work, your overtime, the size of your house, or any of that. We're going to have to stand before him and give an account of the call of God on our lives. Do you know what that is? Do you know what the call of God is on your life? Well, I said this out there. I don't think I'm going to answer all your questions, but I hope that I can stir you up by the Spirit of God. Because there are some things you will only know in your prayer time. No man can tell you what you're called to do. When people start telling you what you're called to do, if it's not confirming something that the Spirit of God hadn't already said to you, pay no attention to that. Okay? You need to spend time with God. I'm encouraging everybody to spend at least 35 minutes with God every day. That's the size of, by the time of a sitcom, 35 minutes, at least 20 minutes in the Word, at least 15 minutes in prayer. I believe that as you consistently spend time with God, you're going to begin to get some idea of what God has uniquely called you to do. So today we're gonna look at Abraham. Because Abraham was called and he was obedient. So let's look at some scripture and then I'm going to come back and ask you some questions. They're not hard questions, okay? They're not going to be hard questions. They ain't going to ask no hard questions, okay? So let's look for a minute at Genesis chapter 12. And it says, "Now the Lord has said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from the kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show you. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless them that bless you and make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." Let's read the rest of it. "And I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you, and in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed." So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. So he did what the Lord told him to do. Now, let's look at Hebrews chapter 11, and then when we look at that, we're going to talk a little bit, and then we're going to come back, and I'm going to give you three laws of obedience tonight, three laws that governs obedience of faith tonight. Verse 8 says, "By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, he obeyed, he went out, not knowing whether he went." Okay, let's talk about obedience in general, and then we'll connect it to faith, and we'll connect it to the call of God. I got some questions. Tell me whether or not you agree with this. Obedience is a willingness to leave our comfort zone. Now, y'all look like, okay, well, you know I'm going to ask you a question after you do that. Okay. How many agree that obedience is willing to leave our comfort zone? Okay, now who are willing to tell me what that means, though? What does that mean? Yes, what does that mean?
I think it's willing to do what God tells you to do, whether you want to do it or whether you like to do it or whether you think you ought to do it.
Willingness to do what God wants you to do, whether you want to do it or like to do it or
feel like doing it.
Anybody else want to add to that? Pardon me?
Or you don't feel equipped to do it.
So you're going to, even though you don't want to do it, even though you don't feel like doing it, even though it's not something that you prefer to do, or you don't feel equipped to do it, then you're going to step outside of your what?
Comfort zone.
Out of your comfort zone. Let me say something to you. You will never receive a call from God that you're comfortable with. Remember that. Remember that. You may call yourself. You may call yourself. Okay. Well, I like this. You know, I'm in my place. You know. No, but you will never receive a call from God to do anything that you're comfortable doing. Because if you're comfortable doing it, you won't trust him. You won't need to trust him. God calls you to do things, and you be thinking like, you want to hit yourself. And all through the scriptures, whenever God called people, they'd be like, not me. Like Moses said, hey, listen, Moses got tongue. I mean, he couldn't even, I can't even talk. You know, so God will never call you to do something that you're comfortable doing. Okay, here's another statement. God requires obedience, not perfection. Explain that to me. God requires obedience. Y'all got that expression on your face like, yeah, I agree with that. Okay, talk to me. Now, if you don't talk to me, I'm going to start calling on you. You better jump out there when you hear something. You say, oh, I know the answer there. You better jump out there because I'm going to end up calling on you. Yes.
I feel like he looks at the integrity of your heart. If I ask you to do it, are you going to do it? It doesn't have to be perfect.
Okay, so I love that. See, we can learn from each other. God looks at the integrity of our heart. And, you know, and he's not up there measuring, you know, you didn't do that, you know. He's not like that, okay? He looks at the integrity of our hearts, and he looks to see whether we will just do it because he asked us to do it. Third thing, partial obedience equals disobedience.
Amen.
Oh, you agree. You're the first one to agree? So what does that mean? Partial obedience equal disobedience. So you're connecting partial obedience to the heart. I think there's something else to this. Partial obedience is not obedience. You don't know who to trust?
Well, you don't really trust.
Well, talk to me about the partial part. Okay. So we still, you all still dealing with the intent of it and the motivation? Yes, sir.
It's like you're not finishing the job. Like, no, did I hit it?
Yes, yes. Listen, yeah. Listen, yes, you hit it. Talk to me. You're not finishing the job.
You're only doing half. You're not doing the whole thing. You're not all of it.
Yeah, you just, you know, partial obedience. You're not finishing the job. You're just doing part of it. Was that what you're going to say?
Similar
to that. Okay, that's 100% what that means. Here's another statement. We just talking about obedience in general. Delayed obedience equals delayed manifestation. You nod at your head. Okay, so when you nod at your head, that meant that you heard it. See? You told the teacher, I got that. Okay, let me tell you this. Delayed obedience equals delayed manifestation. What does that mean to you?
That means I can't put it off and do it when I want to do it. I have to do what he says.
Okay, it means I can't just put it off and do it when I want to do it because what?
You get the same benefit.
Huh? Go ahead on, brother. Well, I tell you, we got this thing down. Why? Because, see, if we delay doing it, do it when we want to do it, then we're going to end up delaying that blessing.
That's good.
I have my faith on some airplanes, and the Spirit of God spoke to me about some airplanes because I'm called to travel. And the Spirit of God said to me, the planes are delayed. I'm thinking, delay? And I know whenever he said delayed, it's always something in us. It's always something in us. So I've been kind of wrestling. I've been really wrestling with that. Listen at this. It is always easier to our flesh to disobey God. Okay, I saw you. You nodded your head. It's always easier to our flesh to disobey God. What did you hear? Oh, yes. Oh, we're learning from each other tonight. That is, listen, did you hear that? Your flesh side is going to be always the fearful side. It's going to always tell you why you can't do it, what's going to happen if you try to do it. You're going to fail if you do it. You're going to look like a fool if you do it. And so if you're not careful, you will argue yourself out of it. okay? Your flesh is going to always rebel against the call of God. Now, I may not give you all your answers tonight, but I'm going to give you enough material for the Spirit of God to start talking to you, see? Your flesh, and I deal with that, and I've been in this 30-some years now, and I still deal with it. Even coming here to Columbus, man, I'm like, I'm just being transparent. I'll be thinking, man, we can do something hoopa, 30 minutes away, you know, you're going to go down there and nobody going to show up. Your flesh, listen, y'all precious people, it's a part of it. God is going to always be pushing you outside of your comfort zone. Yes. It's going to be always outside of your comfort zone. Your flesh is going to be saying, but it's scriptural. Everybody, if you read the scriptures, you see them talking with God. No, you know, you got the wrong guy. Not me. Me, you're talking to me. That flesh is going to always be pushing you to say no to God. Watch this, and it's going to always be easier to yield to your flesh. Remember that. It's going to always be easier to yield to your flesh. Let's look at something else. Well, I tell you, I think I got a revelation already, and I ain't got to the lesson part yet. Listen at this. And this statement here is a statement that the Holy Spirit birthed in me. This me. This is not some you'll find somewhere else. This is me. If we're willing to walk alone, God will give us others to walk with us. Did I see an expression on, did I see some on your face? Did you get that statement?
I'm kind of wrestling with the statement a little bit, but.
You're wrestling with the statement? Okay, let's wrestle with the statement. I'm going to say it and then wrestle with it, but wrestle with it out loud so we can all learn from it, because others may be wrestling with it. Listen to this. If we're willing to walk alone, God will give us others to walk with us. What you wrestling with it? What's happening?
It's like, I guess if you're willing to stay in faith and trust God, you know, just trust his timing and being patient, then the things that you're believing God, where he will send those people or send the right connections, you know, to you, so you'll have somebody that's supported. So instead of seeking it out, just seek God and be patient with it and wait on his timing.
I agree with you 100%. I want to ask you a question, though. When you say wait on God, is there an implication there? Huh? Okay, now listen at this statement. If we're willing to walk alone, God will give us others to walk with us. Your comment was, I'm wrestling with this statement because in God's timing, he will give you the people or whatever you need to get the job. Isn't that a summary of what you were saying? Okay, here's the deal. Here's the deal that I want you to get from that. Usually, all those resources don't show up at the beginning. Got it? Usually, the people don't all show up at the beginning. The finances don't all show up at the beginning. Whatever he's calling you to do doesn't show up all at the beginning. In my beginning, and I have to relate, and I don't want to keep call in the context of just a pulpit ministry, because we can be called to a lot of different things. But in the context of my call to ministry, even before a call to pastor, it was always in the context of me taking a step before anybody agreed. There was no group. You know what I mean? There was no committee. There was nobody there. My new birth, once I got saved, I was alone when I got saved. Now, I know sometimes people get saved in church and they got family around, but when I got saved at on a baseball park. And I was one of them guys that liked to go to parties and do that kind of thing. And so all of a sudden, I'm in a context where I'm in an arena now. Pete and I weren't married at the time, but she's in college, you know, and so we hadn't been long gone to the party. See, now all of a sudden, I'm born again, but I'm going back to a world where I'm different. I'm different. And so there was a span of time where I had to be willing to follow God. I had to be willing to walk with him, not when the people showed up, because God has brought all kinds of people. Pete got saved later on, and different people, and all the wonderful people are in my life. Susan right there has been with me 30 years. We go all the way back. She go all the way back to her husband, Lorenzo, all the way back to my first church that I pastored. They remember the first church that I pastored. And there was some aloneness because I was in a denominational setting. And then all of a sudden, I began to talk the spirit-filled life. I was by myself. I was by myself in my denomination. And then when I was called to start the church, you know, I left a denominational church and started a church. And all I had was four people, my Bible, my wife, my mother, and a friend. Man, there weren't a whole lot of folk. And so I can go on and on and on and on. There is a season in your life where you have to be willing to step out. Now, I got good people around me that understand my call to start churches, develop churches, okay? So I'm not isolated and, you know, stuff like that. But in a sense, I still feel alone. I still feel alone. I feel alone because I see something. And every visionary, and you are a visionary whether you realize it or not, every visionary has a dream on the inside of him. But others will not validate it.
That's right.
You know, because it wasn't given to them.
That's right.
You know, so a lot of times people are not going to say amen. Sometimes family members won't say amen. Why? Because it's the dream that God put in you. It's the dream that he birthed in you. And so sometimes, you know, we want the affirmation. We want the affirmation. We want everybody to say, yeah, that's a good idea. Go for it. I'm behind you, chief. Yeah, go for it. But in your walk with God and being obedient, there are going to be times when you have to be willing to just stand out there. And all the young people here, you know, The beauty that you have is that you're exposed to this kind of information and you can sit in an environment and ask questions and stuff like that because you have a call on your life. You have a call on your life. You have a call on your life. All of you young people, you have a call. There's something that God has planned for you to do. It's his purpose for your life. It's where you're going to prosper. It's where you're going to be happy. It's where you're going to be fulfilled. But you may find yourself not having a crowd around you. And true leaders are willing to stand alone. We celebrate people after the fact. I'm way off of what I ain't nowhere in my notes right now. I'm just going to go with the flow. Listen, We celebrate people after the fact. We even have Martin Luther King Day, but it's after the fact. You know what I mean? Oh, he's wonderful. He's wonderful. You know, I've heard people say, you know, there were churches and people in Birmingham didn't want to go to the meeting. They didn't want to go. I mean, I don't want. This guy's a rebel. He's a rebel. Well, see, now we got a holiday, so everybody said, we're getting off, you know, Monday comes up. And that's the nature of it, precious people. People celebrate great achievement after the fact. After those people, and I'm going to get to your question, after those people have walked alone, stood by themselves, sometimes being ridiculed, sometimes being ostracized, sometimes people separate themselves for you, sometimes people call your names, but they were willing, see, every great person, every great leader in every area was willing to be a pioneer, willing to clear the path. And this is the nature of people. People jump on when it's running. That's what people tell me all the time. Well, you know, even in my community, most of the people at my church ain't from my community. They said, I remember when you said it. I remember when you were saying it. Well, see, after the fact, I wish you'd have said that earlier. It would have been great if you'd have said it. I believe in you. Why? It's after the fact. So you have to be willing to walk alone. And watch this. Cause I'm not sure we're going to even finish this lesson tonight, okay? Watch this. I believe, my personal opinion, that God allows us to walk alone.
Yeah.
I believe God strategically, intentionally, not bring all the people and all that. He don't bring it all up front. He intentionally wants you to walk alone. You know, when our church first got started, when our church first got started, I was down in this school building. Nobody down there but me. Okay, I'm in full-time ministry. I ain't got nobody to counsel. Ain't nobody asking me to preach, but I know God had called me to do it, okay? So I'm down at this church in this building by myself. And I'll be honest with you. I look back and I see God wanted me by myself. Because down there, I would pull out my commentaries and I pull out my Bible and I would look up every word and I would go through the New Testament looking up every word. It was just me and God. And then I had praise time down there. Sometimes I put me on a little praise music and I'd be down there in the hall by myself and I'd just be dancing and praising the Lord and just pray. And I had this unction on the inside of me that he liked when I danced. I just felt like he, now if you'd have saw me, you'd have been like, that boy down there. Because Pete used to say, I don't know how you stay down there by yourself. I don't know. But I look back on those years and I realize God wanted a relationship with me and him. He wanted me to develop intimacy with him. He wanted me to know him so that when people came, I wouldn't turn my attention to them because I had spent time in this. I see ministers, they want somebody to ask them to preach. No, God wants you to get in this and learn this and study this and pray it out. And I would pray and fast and pray in the Spirit, fast and looked like nothing was happening. But it was happening. It was happening in the spirit. And so God sometimes don't let everybody jump on board with you. Now, I'm not talking just about church. Now, I ain't talking about just preaching, okay? God got a dream in you. He got something he wants you to do. You're called. You have a purpose. There's a plan. You're not just a social security number. You are an individual, and God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And there are going to be times when he's not going to let anybody celebrate you. And he don't let nobody celebrate you. All the resources, and you're going to be so, I don't know how in the world it's going to happen. I don't know how in the world I can be this. I don't know how in the world I can do this. I just don't know how I'm going to do this. But he wants you to be by yourself. He wants you to be by yourself. Because God loves you. Not just you doing something for him. He loves you. And I dance. And I do this, you know. And I'm a denominational guy. See, I wasn't from the Pentecostal church, so I was just making up stuff. I'll probably two-stepping, you know what I mean? I just two-step and stuff like that. And I just turn and turn and turn. And I'm not a great singer, and stuff, but I be singing and stuff like that. Man, God love that. I mean, he just get turned on, man. Like he was waiting on me to get down there to that church by myself. And I was down there for years. I was down there for years. Pete said, I don't know how in the world you can be down there by yourself. And I wasn't by myself. I was not by myself. Yes, ma'am. We all over the place, ain't we, tonight? I mean, we just all over the place tonight.
Yes. It's not just when you ask, what's the call? It's not just in the fivefold.
It's not just in the fivefold. We're going to get to some of that. Let me get back to my introduction. let's at least finish the introduction, okay? We're just going to get to the introduction. We don't get to the rest of it. We'll do it next week, okay? We'll do it next week. Okay, listen at this. Obedience is a willingness to leave our comfort zone. That was number one. Number two, God requires obedience, not perfection. Number three, partial obedience equals disobedience. Number four, delayed obedience equals delayed manifestation. Number five, it is always easier on our flesh to disobey God. Number six, if we're willing to walk alone, God will give us others to walk with us. And number seven, this is the last one. You're never too old to begin to follow God's plan for your life.